Hello, I'm Stephen Goodwin. It's Tuesday, August the 18th, 2009, and welcome to episode number 31 of The Beer Crate, the podcast for ale lovers the world over. Each week, we'll be looking at the world of beer and brewing, investigating local, national and international breweries, and of course, tasting a wide selection of beers, ales and ciders. Lager boys need not apply. Coming up on today's show, we have the usual smattering of news, a bank holiday friendly drinker's diary, a report on the annual Great British Beer Festival, discussion on yeast, quick tastings, and our world-renowned Try Before You Die. So let's get cracking. News, and Lobby, or Lagers of the British Isles, which was first revealed on episode 30 of this very podcast, is picking up momentum. They have just arranged a British Lager Week, planned for October, to take place in London. Full details will be announced shortly. There's positive news for those rallying against pubcos, as Jules' brewery have bought two more from Punch for themselves. The pubs are the Castle Hotel on Wem High Street, Shropshire, and the Bricklayer's Arms in Copthorne. Anheuser-Busch InBev are reporting a drop in beer sales. Figures for the first 6 months of 2009 show a 4.8% drop in the UK and a 0.4% drop globally. This is despite an increase in sales of Stella 4%, which kind of proves it was a failed brand anyway. And in a completely non-sexist and gender-neutral fashion, Carlsberg are trying to avoid stereotypes by introducing a beer for women, by calling it Eve, making it sparkle like an Alcopop, and producing it in passion fruit and lychee flavours. This 3.1% drink is being trialled in Manchester for the next 3 months at a cost of nearly £500,000. Drinker's Diary. And there are four events coming up in the very near future. The first is the 14th Clacton-on-Sea Beer Festival, being held from Wednesday the 26th of August to Saturday the 29th. This is being held at St James's Hall, Tower Road, Clacton, and is part of Carnival Week, so there'll be an air show and Phaeton fireworks on at the same time. Next up is the Bank Holiday, from the 29th of August, which is Saturday, to the 31st, Bank Holiday Monday. The Moor Green Showground in Watnall, Nottinghamshire, has their 200th Moor Green County Show, at which Camera have a beer tent. The Students' Union at Dunelm House holds host to the 29th Durban Beer Festival from Thursday the 3rd of September to Saturday the 5th. Entertainment is on Saturday, and there's the usual array of hot and cold food. And finally, also between Thursday the 3rd and Saturday the 5th of September, is the 21st Furness Beer Festival, being held at Coronation Hall, County Square, Ulverston. This year's GBBF was a busy affair as usual, but with a 7.5% increase on numbers over last year, 64,000 people turned up at Earl's Court to sample a wide selection of real ales, ciders, perries and international beers. During the festival, Canberra saw its membership rise to 100,000, thanks to the introduction of 1,400 new members, including several women, that Camera have been looking to encourage in recent years by laying on special Girls Guide to Beer tours. As always, Tuesday was the day of champions, with the champion beers of Britain being announced. This year's overall winner was Rudgate's Ruby Mild from Yorkshire, followed closely by Cambridgeshire's Oakham Brewery and their Attila Beer, which also won the Winter Beer of Britain back in January. The bronze overall medal went to Dr. Hexter's Healer from West Berkshire. One of the new discoveries this year was the Jersey Brewery, based on the eponymous Channel Island, part of the Liberation Group. The brewery claims to have been part of island life for a century, despite many periods of absence. This was the first time they had exhibited at the GBBF, so I tried two of their offerings. Mary Ann Best is a 3.6% dark bitter ale that uses English hops for its floral aroma. Alas, for me, this came off as rather wet, with a thin-in and thin-out mouthfeel, and not particularly satisfying. Their Liberation Ale fared only slightly better, by having noticeable citrus over the tongue and some on the aftertaste, but didn't go anywhere as far as taste or innovation. However, the beers had a tough time this year, as I discovered my first truly wonderful sweet cider in the form of Hex's Taylor's Sweet. But, cider being cider, it's likely that my next pint will be completely different. Although less yeast, by volume, is used in beer than any other ingredient, it is the most important, as it is the one which causes fermentation. Which, as every schoolboy knows, was discovered by Louis Pasteur in 1857, mentioned in his Memoirs sur la fermentation alcoolique paper. Yeast itself is a microorganism in the fungus family, which feeds on the sugar in a brew, creating carbon dioxide and pyruvic acid, which later becomes alcohol. It also infuses three types of taste to the beer. Fennels produce spice, esters for fruit, and diactyls for butterscotch or woody tastes. Consequently, there are many hundreds of yeasts available, but they generally break down into either top fermenting or bottom fermenting. Top fermenting yeasts are often called ale yeasts because their use in ales create the characteristic thick head. They get their name because they rise to the top during the 7 to 8 day fermentation process and are used at between 10 and 25 degrees Celsius. If you want to impress someone with your Latin, you could call these yeasts Saccharomyces cerevisiae. On the other hand, bottom fermenting yeasts operate at a low temperature, between 7 and 15 degrees Celsius, and are stored for longer and used for lagers. These yeasts lack esters, so produce a cleaner taste to the beer. The original Latin name for these was Saccharomyces carlsbergerensis, after its discovery in 1883 by Emil Christian Hansen at the eponymous brewery in Denmark, but has since been known as Saccharomyces uvarum. Once the fermentation process is over, the yeast is generally discarded, although there are other leftovers from this process which include yeast extract, which is reused as a major constituent of health foods, such as Marmite. Tastings. In this section, we give a brief yet discriminating summary of a number of different beers from around the world. All have been personally tasted and graded. Naturally, everyone has different tastes, and these are mine, so your mileage may vary. Hyde's Trojan Horse, from Hyde's. This is a 4.2% beer, which is amber in colour, smooth, but with a non-fizzy texture. It has a nice rounded malt taste, and an okay balance of bittersweet with some spices in there. But not overtly great. 6 out of 10. Monkman's Slaughter, from the Cropton Brewery. This is a full rounded 6% beer, which is nicely rich and warm like a coal fire at midnight. A full rounded mouthfeel and taste is reminiscent of, say, fruit and nut chocolate with slightly overburnt caramel. 8 out of 10. Chapeau API, from the Thornbridge Brewery. This has a pleasant hazy golden appearance and a lovely bouquet featuring biscuit and spice, which underpins the honey tastes that come later. It has a strong hoppiness, which dissipates into a light, tight, bitter finish. Very good as a session ale. It comes in at 5.9% and scores 8 out of 10. Rosin Tayberry, from the Heather Brewery. This beer is 4.2% in alcohol and about 104.2% on Tayberry fruit, whatever particular type of fruit that is. Your joy of this beer is entirely dependent on whether you like that specific fruit, as there is virtually nothing else in the drink. Consequently, for me, it gets a non-committal 5 out of 10. Try Before You Die. In this section of the show, we will cast a discerning eye over the best beers that this world has to offer. We shall mention its history, the brewery behind the beer, and why we feel this is a superior brew worthy of your attention. This week, Glutton Beer, from the Brewery of St. Bernardus. This is a 6.5% beer which, like many other Belgium ales, ticks all the boxes for a great beer. It comes from the Brewery of St. Bernardus and is kept cool in caves in the Marl pits in Cannes in Belgium and Valkenburg in the Netherlands. It has a medium dark look with more taste than you'd expect, along with its large foam head. There's lightly toasted malt, spicy sweetness, and can be drunk as a session ale. Really very tasty. The water used in this beer, along with the others from the St. Bernardus Brewery, is pumped from a water table 150 metres below the surface and claimed to have fallen during the 1400s. It is bottled unfiltered, with additional sugar and yeast being added, giving a second fermentation stage in the bottle. The brewery itself is situated in Wattau, West Flanders, next to the local cheese factory. It was begun by Mr. de Koenig shortly after World War II. Using his ties with the brewers of the West Vlaanderen, he brewed what were considered Trappist ales, but due to a change in the rules, it is now considered an Abbey ale. There's the Wattow Triple, named for the town, alongside five other Bernardus-branded beers, the 12, 8, 6, Triple, and Witbier, all of which follow the usual conventions of process and strength associated with Belgian beers. At least one of these beers has featured on a previous Try Before You Die session, but I'll let you work out which. For now, I'll say that the Grodden beer is what I'm drinking at the moment, and the winner of this week's Try Before You Die. Okay, that wraps it up for this week. To give us a tasting of your opinions, you can email us on thebeercrate@gmail.com. If you prefix the subject line with two colons, you can be sure to avoid the spam filters. Remember to enjoy everything from the Beer Crate safely and responsibly, so you can be back here with us next week. Until then, cheers. This podcast has been released under the Creative Commons Attribution, No Commercial, No Derivatives version. See www.thebeercrate.com for details.